So would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So Zach and Abby, back in the 1900s, the 1900s and 99, so not that long ago, I was a freshman goalkeeper, field hockey goalkeeper, and I was joining the number two ranked Division I field hockey team in the country. Now, the previous year, the team had won the national championship, so they were the top. But needless to say, there was a lot of pressure to compete and to perform. Now, it was a huge jump in the skill of athletes going from my little high school team to the college level. And I struggled my first season. Nothing I did was good enough. Repetition after repetition, drill after drill, hour after hour. Nothing I did was good enough. I remember one day, I was totally messing up. And the coach, she was getting on me. And as I stood soaking wet from my head to my toes in sweat, I looked at her through my goalkeeper helmet, through the face mask, and I replied, "I'm trying." To which she responded, "Anyone can try." It was not good enough. Anyone can try. That was not enough. Just do it, was the mentality. And also, do it the best. Now, competitive sports. It's been around a long, 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 long time. Since before the Apostle Paul, in fact. He's writing to these people in Corinth, a place where many people gathered because it was a seaport, and also every 2 years they had the Greek Isthmian Games. They were held on the first month of the spring, every 2 years, like the Olympics. And athletes from all over Greece would come to compete. And according to legend, the games were actually originally funeral games in memory of Melicertes, a Greek god. But yet there's also another legend, of course, that the games were in honor of a Greek god called Poseidon, who was the god of the seas, kind of the counterpart to the Roman Neptune god. So the athletes, men and women, gathered and they'd compete in a variety of events. From foot races, you like to run, I know we've run against each other, foot races, and wrestling, and boxing. Now their boxing though, it was fierce. They would wrap metal and rocks and everything around their fist, so that way when they hit someone, they would win by knocking them out. And that's what they fought until somebody was knocked out or quit. They also had discus and javelin, chariot racing, the long jump, poetry reading, and singing. You didn't know that those were competitive athletic events, did you? Did you know that, Abby? Poetry and singing were athletic events. Y'all would be great at it. Me? Not so much. But since there were no hotels in the area, the athletes had to stay in tents. So the competitors and spectators, they were all in tents in the surrounding fields, you see. And Paul, being a tent maker, he and his colleagues would find ample work fixing these tents and selling the tents during games. Now, unlike our modern Olympics, where you get a gold medal or silver or bronze if you place in the top three, or like our modern road races where everybody gets a medal, no matter if you finish first or dead last, only the winner was given an award. And it was a crown, a beautiful crown made out of vegetables. I know! Zach goes, out of celery, actually. Now, the celery isn't the same as what we have today. It's a little different, but a crown made out of celery. Now, as Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi is famous for saying, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. So the winners were awarded this celery crown as their prize. Celery. I know. Would you like a celery crown next time you win a competition? No. Some cheese and dressing? Roy wants it with blue cheese, dressing, some buffalo spices. Well, they were awarded this crown, and the crown was actually used both to award the winners of these competitions as well as honoring their dead. Because one legend is that these events were started to honor their late god. But at funerals, they'd also give the dead these celery crowns. Interesting. Now, Paul knows that his audience understands this athletic metaphor because they're right there in Corinth. They witness these events every 2 years. And so he uses this metaphor in our scripture because he knew that they would understand. Paul is comparing being a Christian to being an athlete. He says, and I quote, "Everyone who competes practices self-discipline in everything. The runners do this to get a crown of leaves that shrivel up and die. But we do it to receive a crown that never dies." This athletic metaphor is meant to highlight the athlete, her discipline, her achievements, so much as her aims and the motivating force that are behind her efforts. Paul is articulating how being a Christian is a way of life. God wishes for us to grow in this life that we're living. God wishes for us to continually move forward, to follow in the ways of love and in the ways of Jesus. And just like an athlete training for a race or running a race, you always have to do your best to have that purpose, that goal in mind. Otherwise, you go around running aimlessly. Yeah, always do your best. That's our fourth agreement of our five agreements that we've been looking at this month. Doing your best. It's not about meeting expectations or achievements. It's not about winning or losing. It's not about success or failure or whatever those labels imply. It's about putting all your energy into following God in the current moment. Always doing your best is about putting all your energy into following God in this current moment. Now, as the Ruizes tell us, it is the fourth agreement which allows these first three agreements to come habits of our own. The first three agreements being, be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, and don't make assumptions. By living into the fourth agreement of always doing your best, you're able to make these other three agreements habits. And when you strive to always do your best, it's not doing more or less, it's just doing your best. And your best, mind you, it's not gonna be the same from moment to moment, from day to day or year to year. Your best is always changing. Some days, as we all know, you might feel really overly tired, or maybe you feel well rested, and your best is gonna be different. Your best might differ when you're feeling sick, as opposed to healthy and strong. Your best will vary. It will vary also on your mood, but always do your best. Keep the goal in mind and run the race that is set before you. The Ruizes also state that if you just do your best, There's no way you can judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, there's no way you're going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. Our God desires for us to create earth as it is in heaven, to live in Christian love, to not beat ourselves up or to judge and beat others up. When you've done your best, you can sit back and be satisfied. And when that inner judge starts to talk and starts to try to judge you, you can just say to it, "I did my best." Our God is asking us to try. Trying is enough. To try to be the best person we can be. To try so that we might grow closer to God. Yes, anyone can try. And that's exactly what our God wants us to do. To try to be our best. God is not asking us to be more than we are. God made you perfectly, just as you are. But God is asking for you to grow and continue to strive to be better, but not perfect. For as Brené Brown says, perfectionism is not the same as striving to be our best. Perfectionism is different than self-improvement. God wishes for us to become better, to fully grow into who and what God created us to be, to fuel that Christ light that is in each one of us, and to live and be like Christ. And as the Apostle Paul notes, following Jesus is not easy. That's why Paul compares it to a race or to a boxing match. Because like athletes, to follow Jesus, it takes practice and it takes self-discipline. There are going to be times when things go well and times that are a struggle. And as we hear in the fifth agreement, you don't need to judge yourself, to feel guilty, or to punish yourself if you can't keep these agreements. If you're doing your best, you will feel good about yourself, even if you still make assumptions, still take things personally, and are still not impeccable with your word. If you do your best, over and over again, you will become a master of transformation. My college field hockey career was definitely transformative in many ways. Yes, it's true, anyone can try. The question is, are we going to try? Are we going to try day in and day out, moment to live as God wants us to be? Are we going to try to always do our best? Or are we going to let forces like selfishness, greed, and worry, and just our society get in the way and draw us away from God? The ancient Greeks won the celery wreaths on their heads, which were also a sign of death in that time, which reminds us that sometimes we have to give things up, let things go or die in order to do our best and to move closer to God. To our God who is right here, right now, our God who is with us, calling us to draw closer. So set aside your personal motives and all of the different ways that we draw away from God, and may we draw closer to God in the way of self-love, love of others, and love for our God. May it be so. Amen. Let us rise now in body and spirit for the singing of Holy, Holy, Holy God with Us, which will be on the screen.